Now, we have been talking the last couple of days about prayer and looking specifically at the books of Luke and the book of Matthew in what is often called the model prayer. And what I've been looking at specifically is just trying to see what is Jesus saying, because again, this is the disciples coming to Jesus and they ask him, teach us to pray. So this is Jesus teaching on how to pray, on how to pray. And we read it all the time. We all know it so well because we've said it so many times. We all know how it goes. This is the version from Luke, of course. It also has it in, well, let me read it from Matthew chapter 6. It's a bit more complete. It adds one more verse in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we've all heard that. We've all said that many times. But this is Jesus, and he said, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Here's how you pray. This is the instruction I'm giving you. You think about your own prayer life and think about the times of prayer that you have. Do you feel satisfied by that prayer time? Do you see results from that prayer time? Would you say that prayer is an important part of your life? Would you say that prayer is an effective element of your life? Do you feel like you have a close relationship with God when you pray? Or does he feel like he's distant? You know, I think most of us would like to have steady improvement. We'd like to see different things in our prayer life. We'd like to be stronger. We'd like to see more results. We'd like to feel closer to God. We'd like him to be more effective. I think all of us would say that. Well, all we have to do is go and look at those verses that are so familiar to us. Look at those verses and hear what Jesus is saying, because he's saying, this is my instruction to you. If you feel like your prayer time is not as effective, if you feel like it's a chore and a drudgery to pray, I'll tell you what. Think about those words that we have said countless times over and over again. Think about those words, but now let's hear them again and hear them with the understanding that this is your Savior. This is Jesus saying, this is how I want you to pray. Saying, Todd, this is how I would teach you to pray. And you know that what Jesus is teaching had impact, because again, the disciples saw him praying and they wanted what he had and they asked, we want that, teach us. Now, we looked at those first couple of verses. We've seen already in the first number of verses the importance of just acknowledging his greatness. Along with that, just that praise, how important praise is. Hallowed be your name. It's praising, it's lifting God, it's acknowledging his goodness, his greatness. It's acknowledging who he is, and it's praising him. Praise is an important element. We also looked at the importance of what you say and speaking, and speaking the word that you have, and saying, hey, it's done in your kingdom. In your kingdom it's done, and so as it's done there, I believe it's done here as well. Today I want to look at, and we looked at verse 3 also, which was, give us today our daily bread, which is, of course, Jesus. I want to look at verse 4 today. This is kind of a long one. It says, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice that Jesus, when he starts this off, and that first part of the verse says, and forgive us our sins. Notice that when Jesus says this, and again, this is his instruction. These words, every one of these words is important, because it's Jesus' teaching to you and I on how to pray effectively and how to pray in such a way that, like the disciples did, others would come and say, wow, teach me how to do that. Teach me that, because I want to be able to pray like that. And so in these instructions, he says, and forgive us our sins. Notice that Jesus didn't say to ask for forgiveness. This is his instruction. He didn't say, I want you to ask for forgiveness. He said that we were to say, forgive us our sins. Listen, there's no pleading here. I think a lot of times in our prayer time, we wind up just pleading. Ever had someone in your life that just is always whining, is always just asking? And I think we come across that way sometimes to our Father in our prayer time. Jesus didn't say to ask for forgiveness. He said that we were to say, forgive us our sins. There's no pleading here. It's simply a matter of knowing that our sins are in fact removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You look at the Old Testament and you find out the words for like atonement and all that, and it means covering of sins. You look at all the words that are used in the New Testament, and it's not a covering. It is a removal. It's a remission of sins. They are gone. So Jesus is saying here, you don't have to plead for it. Know for a fact that your sins are in fact removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is have that, that heart of repentance. And we can say, forgive us our sins, and know that we are forgiven. Know that we do have forgiveness. All we have to do, don't have to beg, we just have to understand it's ours and we receive it. We receive it by our own repentance. Now, the verse does show us how important forgiveness is in our prayer life. Forgiveness. And in our daily walk with the Lord. But again, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And he's talking about forgiveness. So forgiveness is an important part of that prayer life. And yet, very few of us really pay much attention to this. Very few of us really pay much attention to this, which is expected of us. We need to have a heart of forgiveness for others and show a gratefulness for the forgiveness that the Lord has given us when we have that time of prayer, even though we don't deserve it. So when we go into a prayer time, we should be cognizant of the fact of what is our hearts. A, we need to acknowledge and be thankful for the forgiveness that God has for us. It is already bestowed upon us. For the sins, our sins being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we also need to then take that same acknowledgement and grateful heart for the forgiveness that we live under, and take that and make sure that in our heart we're applying that to the people that are around us, who also probably don't deserve it any more than we do, who don't deserve it, but that should still be our heart. Remember that what the disciples were looking for, why the one specific disciple came to Jesus and said, teach us this. Remember, they were looking for that same relationship that Jesus obviously had with the Father as demonstrated through his prayers. So they're asking him to teach, and he brings up forgiveness. This is Jesus telling them and telling us that forgiveness is a vital part of our prayer life. When we go to the Father in prayer, we need to have a heart of forgiveness. We need to have a heart of forgiveness for those who have treated us wrong improperly, those that have hurt us or offended us. We need to forgive, just as God has forgiven us. Always remember that by the same mercy that we give, that's what's going to be measured back unto us. We hinder our own prayer lives. Now listen, if you feel like your prayer life is sometimes less than you desire, if you feel like sometimes your prayer life is ineffective, one of the things that you and I do to hinder ourselves in our prayer life, one of the things that we do to hinder ourselves in our prayer life is not having that heart of forgiveness. You and I hinder our prayer life when we remain in unforgiveness of others. Oh, but Todd, you don't know what someone's done to me. You don't know how wrong. You don't know. You know what? I'm sure I don't. But I also know this. I know that the depths, the mountain of the sin that I carry, I know that Jesus has forgiven me, and I don't deserve that. But he does, and I am so grateful for it. And the same is true for every one of us. So then who am I, or who are you, to receive such blanket of forgiveness, overwhelming forgiveness, to receive it and yet not to extend it to others? Luke 17 reminds us of the depth of the forgiveness that we should have with others that offend us. And if he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. That's what's expected of us. And that's one of the things that Jesus is talking about here as he's teaching us how to pray. Make sure that you have that heart of forgiveness. Make sure that you're not closing the door. Make sure that you're, a lot of times we say, I don't feel God's presence. I feel like God's far away. Hey, God is always right there. If there's a distance and a separation, it's the distance and the separations that we cause, or the distance and the separation that we feel like we have just because our hearts are not right. Because our hearts, in this case, we're not operating out of forgiveness. A lot of people get caught up in the second part of that. And we'll get back to forgiveness in a second, but a lot of people get caught up in the second part of that phrase. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. Now, here's the part that a lot of people struggle with. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That second part really does throw a lot of people off. People have often taken that to mean that, well, that God might lead us into temptation somehow unless we pray against it. We got to pray against God leading us into temptation, otherwise he might. That's the way a lot of people look at it, and that's the way a lot of people read it. But that's not understanding the heart of God or the word of God itself. It's clear that that's not a correct interpretation of what the word says, because the word's not going to contradict itself. And here's how you can know that you're reading something correctly. The word is not going to contradict itself. And this is what the word of God says about God's heart and about temptation and temptation regarding us. James 1:13 says this, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So when you're reading, and when you read that verse or that part of the verse, and you're applying this to prayer, into your prayer life, and you think about this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. When it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Don't go into your prayer time thinking that, oh God, please, I'm asking you, please don't lead me into temptation today. You know, that's not what you have to pray. You don't have to say that because God's not going to lead you into temptation. Again, God's word's not going to contradict himself. So if he said that he can't be tempted and that he does not tempt anyone, he's not tempting you. You don't have to pray that he's not going to lead you into temptation. You don't have to pray that he is not going to lead you into temptation. He does not tempt us. So the prayer that Jesus is instructing us is not to ask God not to lead us into temptation. So then what does it mean then? What is he saying there? What is that instruction that he's given us when he says that? Because again, remember, this is all instruction to you and I on how to pray. Well, perhaps we can better understand that when we read it from the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified, it says, "And bring us not into temptation, but rescue us from evil." So we're speaking in faith that we know that the Lord will not, we do know that the Lord will in fact deliver us from temptation. When we read that, we have to understand and speak in faith. He's saying, I want you to speak in faith. I want you to always, when you pray, I want your prayers to be prayers of faith. I want you to be saying, thank you, Lord. I know that you're not leading me into temptation. I know that that is contrary to you. I know that when temptation comes, it has nothing to do with you. And that you, in fact, have delivered me from temptation. Again, it's getting back to that acknowledgement of God and who he is. It's acknowledging his love. It's a word, it's twofold. It's a statement of faith. It's saying, I know you're not going to lead me into temptation, but it's also a praise and saying, thank you, Lord, because I know that you don't lead me into temptation, but in fact, you deliver me from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "No temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So we know from James that God isn't leading us into temptation, but we know in life temptation does come. But we also know from that last verse we read that when temptation does come, it's not from God. When it does come, he will always provide a means of escape for us. So Jesus is saying, you don't have to ask God to not lead me into temptation. He's saying, as a statement of faith, when you pray, pray in faith and acknowledge and say, God, thank you that you are not the one. You do not lead me into temptation, but you are the deliverer. And when temptation comes, you will deliver me. It's a statement of faith. We also need to read this phrase in context, because again, this is all part of the same verse. So when Jesus was talking about forgiveness, this all leads right into temptations. "And forgive us our sins as he has forgiven everyone who is, as we forgive everyone who is indebted unto us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's all part of the same phrase. It's all in the same thing. So these two things are tied together. Understand the forgiveness, understand what it's talking about with temptation and having that faith statement and thanking him. But now put those two things together. We also need to read that phrase in the context. That part of the verse, you will recall, instructed us on the importance of acting with forgiveness. So we can realize that when we're living in unforgiveness and hardness of heart that comes from that unforgiveness, when we are holding an ought against someone else, we put ourselves, listen to this, we put ourselves in a position of vulnerability to be tempted. That's why Jesus instructed and he said, have forgiveness. Act out of forgiveness. Have a forgiving heart. Because if we don't, if we go into that time of prayer and we are not operating in forgiveness to people around us, guess what? We are putting ourselves, we've put ourselves in a position of vulnerability to be tempted in fact. Part of the time that temptation comes to us is because we have hard hearts and we are not forgiving others. It gives the enemy, if you will, a foothold. It gives him an advantage. It gives him a way into your life to bring those temptations in. And Jesus is saying, when you pray, make sure you have forgiveness in your heart. Thank God for the forgiveness he's given you. Have no forgiveness in your heart. And when you do so, keep that statement of faith. Know that you're forgiven. Know that you have that forgiveness. Acknowledge him. And you put yourself in a position of strength where the enemy has no access to you. When there's temptation, we bring it upon ourselves. And then one final verse, the very final thing, you go back to the book of Matthew, and it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Once again, the importance of praising God when we pray. Our prayer time should be as much praise as it is anything else. Because in this instruction, Jesus started by saying praise, and he ends by saying praise. Praise should be paramount in our prayer time.